Well, we're live. This is the Dawn and Wind Show. We're doing things a little crazy today. You're going to hear some weird noises, probably a high-pitched whiz. The reason is because I have ordered a certain part, and it did not arrive, and therefore trying to break into the system the way I used to do is no longer an option, and now I'm having to use a phone line and three-way myself in from the other phone in order to get into the system, and it's making it do weird things. How are you today, Wynn?
I'm here, Don. I just wanted to scare you.
Well,
did I scare you?
You didn't scare me. I just hope we're not coming. I can see the meter going right up through the red roof whenever I talk, so I'm going to have to talk very lightly.
Well, are you talking into a phone right now?
Correct.
Don almost had me do the show myself tonight. He says we can't put both voices on because my equipment is screwing up. So.
Well, it's not screwing up. It's more.
Wait, you're missing something.
Yeah, I need a certain part in order for me to break into the system because it's set up for remote hosting now with call-ins and interviewees. And so in order for me to break in, I need a certain part to adapt, an outboard adapter, and it's supposed to come and it hasn't come, and so I'm having to do this in an unusual way.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's kind of kinky, right?
It's definitely kinky.
Right. Well, that probably goes for, like, most of our listeners. So. I know it goes for you, and I won't confess for me.
I wonder what this sounds like. I must say, this must sound pretty radical when somebody else is listening to it, because I know that I'm pegging these lights, and I can't tell whether it's my voice, the line that's pegging it, the way I have it set, how I've broken into it. I mean, I have no clue. So we'll just kind of run with it and hope that we don't create too many deaf listeners out there.
Well, they have volume controls, so I don't think it'll be a problem. So, you know, Don and I were having a great conversation about an hour and a half ago. And I was hoping, the way the show got started was Don and I started having these great conversations every day, kind of like these really creative conversations. And I said, you know, I think other people would like to hear these conversations because we're talking about the kinds of things that people are going through right now and the meaning of it. And so I secretly recorded one of the conversations, and I said, Don, here's our first Don and Wynn show. And it's still up there in the archives, right?
That's correct. It's still up there. The quality's horrible. Probably it'll be similar to the quality of this when we're done.
Okay. But anyone can listen to it. And we've been doing it ever since. And we don't really have a plan. We just kind of, ad lib it. We're going to be having some guests. But I do have, myself, not a plan, but a reason behind wanting to be talking to people, and that is that I have this really unusual experience of having, I guess, what I call interdimensional communication, and I also have written a book about a young guy that's the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce that's having interdimensional communication, and that there's this postulate coming from sources on the other side that our planet is in a very unusual position in its history, and I've gotten to understand what I believe might be the real accurate perception or perspective of what's going on.
I think you do. I call Wynn my guru. He doesn't like it, but he's probably one of the most centered and grounded people that I've ever met. I mean, what you bring to me is a lifelong worth of wisdom, and it's helped me through everything I've done.
Well, thank you, Don. And that's embarrassing.
No, being naked's embarrassing.
I mean, one of the fears I have is like, oh my God, what if people believe all this stuff? You know, for a long time, I was in my own vacuum about it. And really, anyone I shared it with were people that I knew in the past, and they thought I was ready for the woo-woo form when I said what was happening to me. And I said, how am I going to ever talk about this, or how's anyone going to believe it? I mean, it's so far out.
It is. I mean, look at this channeling that you put up on bloginservice.com's index page today. I mean, holy Moses.
You read it, huh?
Yeah, I read it, and I'm telling you, it's a humdinger.
Yeah. Well, you know, I always make a disclaimer because I don't know about things that are going to happen in the future, especially when they talk about it, if they're actually going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, I do know that in the past, there have been a number of really precise things in the future. I mean, there was one thing 3 years ago that said something about the people in Louisiana and Florida are going to be experiencing devastating hurricanes, and to warn people to keep supplies and be ready for a quick move inland, and that they see, I forget, let me see now, up to 70,000 people displaced from those areas.
And that's what happened.
And that's exactly what happened. And so I actually don't want to be a prophet of disaster. I don't want that the reason to be the reason people are paying attention.
But now you're labeled.
You know what, a prophet of disaster? A prophet of doom and gloom, you know? But, you know, the underlying thing is that it's, I know everyone's concerned about survival, and of course life is a very precious thing. It's a very precious experience, and no one wants to disappear from this level, except if you really knew that disappearing from this level was only just this whole experience we're going through is just a blip in many, many, many lifetimes. And if you really knew that that was true, you'd probably have less fear, right?
I would agree.
I mean, if you thought that this was all there is, then
you'd be afraid.
Then you'd be afraid. In fact, you know, there's people that are, you know, amassing fortunes and everything because they think that's where their security lies. But there's another bank on the other side. And, you know, when you talk about the other side and you talk about all of this stuff, there's people that either blindly believe it or blindly disbelieve it. And either of those positions is not really, they're almost the same position, because it's not believing in your mind that there's another side. It's having some personal experience that can validate it for you, and that the experience is possible to have.
Yeah.
And the first thing you need is hear someone else that you don't think is lying or making it up talking about their experience. And if somebody else had that experience and is human, and it's possible for another human to have it. And, in fact, many, many people have it. Now, I know, I have friends that are still skeptics, and they say, oh, well, we all read each other's websites, and we adopt a point of view, and we're in the same club, so to speak. And, you know, there's ways that the conscious mind can discount things, because if you even accepted the possibility of it, it would destroy the reality structure that you've adopted all your life to live within.
Yeah, I agree.
And people don't want to let go of their reality structure. So even when something is put right up to your face and presented, somebody that is attached to the reality structure will find every reason to discount it. I mean, they'll discount the fact that you had the experience. They'll think, I mean, there's people that, even people think that I'm delusional. I said, how can I be delusional? This didn't happen in a vacuum. I've got tens of people that have been around that have watched this happen.
You know, but It's funny you say delusional, because the right way to put that is to, instead of being in the illusion, you're de-illusional or delusional, which means...
De-illusioning yourself.
Well, you're getting into your right mind. Where other people think you're delusional, you're actually, they're in the illusion, you're de-illusioning yourself.
Right. Well, it's valid to think somebody's delusional, because there are people that are delusional. I mean, you know, when you talk about people that have interdimensional experience, some are delusional. They are delusional. Some are making it up because they want attention, they want to be special.
Yeah.
Some are communicating with negative sources, because there are negative sources on the other side.
Yeah.
That can channel through people, and it's I am sure Hitler had people that channeled around him that were channeling from negative sources.
Yeah.
And there are signs that I've learned about negative sources. One of them is that they always try to create an elite. They try to make you be special, like everyone else is lesser than.
Right.
And they try to create fear. They try to use you to create fear. And in fact, you know, a lot of people believe that there's negative sources channeling in the inside realms of, say, the secret societies today, and that seem to be dictating so many of things in the world.
I would believe that.
That are creating fear. I believe it too, but I think that I don't want to say that it's true. I think that there's enough evidence if anyone really researches it.
Well, look at the Denver airport. There's so many places you can look at the symbolism, the Denver airport.
Right.
You can look at a lot of our government buildings and the way they're designed.
They're using symbols of these ritualistic things.
Sure.
But you know what? All these things, you can read David Icke. David Icke is probably, although I certainly recommend, if you're going to read David Icke, you read my book first, because David Icke can be downright scary.
Well, he can also be downright, in my opinion, I hate to tell you this, Wynn.
Yeah.
He can be downright full of himself. I hate to tell you that, but he seems to know everything about everything about everything, and there isn't anything metaphysical that he doesn't know everything about.
Well, you know what? There's a predisposition. We all like attention.
And he loves it.
And even if you got a positive message, even if you got a negative message, and you get attention, there's part of us that likes that attention. And so if you're gonna do really, really high service, you have to detach yourself from the attention. You have to
doesn't do that at all that I've seen. He actually he goes out and he seeks it in every single way it can be found.
Well, I think on one hand, he's got a double motive. One is seeking attention, and one is on his own mission. I mean, people think I'm seeking attention. I mean, I have a mission. I believe it's important to get my stuff out there. I believe it's important for people to read my book. I believe it's important for me to tell my story. But people can interpret that from an outward level, like Wynn just wants. Wynn just wants to be a guru, or one wants this, or one wants that. It's really subtle. I think part of David Icke is on a mission because he's discovered these things, and he thinks it's really important to let people know about it. And in a certain sense, it is. The problem is, if you just know about all the negative stuff that's going on, and you don't realize how the positive aspect.
Well, look at the kill shot. What about the kill shot? We're going to get the kill shot, look out, wipe out that time. You know, and a lot of his messages, I mean, he works supposedly, even by his own admission, with the various government agencies, and he talks about a lot of things that have to do with fear, and he aggrandizes himself and seeks the limelight. Now, looking at it from that perspective, if I put all the dominoes in place, I see a track. Now, I don't judge him because I don't know him. I just, and I'm looking from the outward in, but he does have some great messages. I mean, I think many of his messages of the interdimensional communication and the metaphysical aspects are right on.
Well, I think if someone wants to understand the operation of the negative on this planet, David Icke probably presents it as better than anybody. And the problem is, if you just read David Icke, you don't understand the operation of the positive on this planet very
right.
well. And so all you're left with is, you know, to be scared and afraid.
And what does that tell you?
And so it tells me that that's as far as he, you know, I don't want to really,
but you see
I don't
what
want to
I
do
mean?
David Icke.
I
don't want to do David Icke's inventory. I don't want to make a judgment about him. In fact, I've read a couple of his books, and I can say I got something out of it.
Yeah.
I did get something
out
of it.
Oh, yeah, I got a lot out of many of his articles.
So, you know, you take the positive. It's just that, you know, I'm having this experience of having these two group souls that are responsible for the evolution of humankind, or to assume that responsibility, and that are helping, but they're helping in the background.
Yeah.
I mean, they can stop disasters. I mean, sometimes they tell me they put off some kind of tragedy that was going to happen. And in my book, Ra says, you know, you would never believe what we could do, but we can only do it based on free will. So the more people that are turned towards light and wisdom, the more interventions we can do. And the more people that are turned towards fear and hate, the more we have to back off, because that energy does not allow that. Then you have, you see, the deal is when we're in fear and hate, we won't learn the lesson of where fear and hate goes if somebody just tries to make us safe. Or, you know, part of Earth changes, part of it, and it's not the whole thing, part of it is that it creates a circumstance where we have to, it's either going to bring out the best or worst in people. Either they're going to turn towards each other, they're going to support each other,
yeah.
And or they're going to be fighting with each other, and fighting over, you know, material things. And I'm sure both things are inevitable to happen.
Yeah.
And the more people, you know, part of knowing what may be happening is building your own self up so that when it does happen, if it does happen, then psychologically it's not going to shock you. You're prepared for it psychologically.
Yeah.
And you're already making plans to deal with it and to deal with yourself.
You know,
if you're not prepared for it, I shouldn't interrupt you, Don.
Oh, no, it's okay.
Your mother's going to yell at me. She's going to say, I'm not leaving. Go ahead, Don. Make your comment. I'm sorry.
And believe me, I'm going to give you your phone number, too.
You're going to give her my phone number?
Wynn and I were just having a little talk about my mother, because she likes to hear her boy talk, and me, I like to hear Wynn, because he's a lot more knowledgeable than I am about when it comes to any of this. So, but my mom, you know, they love to hear their boys talk, so it was a little funny conversation Wynn and I were having, just to let everybody in on this. You know, Wynn, I have a question for you. You know what, do you hear that tone, that high-pitched tone?
In my ears, you mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes, yeah.
Now, everybody who's out there listening, you're now my witness to this tone. If you guys can hear it, email me, email contact@blogandservice.com and say, I heard the high-pitched tone. I'm going to tell you why. Because I've had that darn phone guy out here 4 times. And every time he comes out to look at the line, this particular noise is not there. However, within moments of him leaving, getting in his vehicle, and heading out, I pick up the phone to dial a phone, to dial someone up, and guess what? The tone's back. And it's been playing with me. It's playing with my head. And now, of course, we shouldn't be hearing this, but I hear it clearly. So if anybody out there hears this high-pitched tone, email me. I want to give those letters to the next work guy that comes by, and I'm going to say, do you see what I'm talking about? You may
now,
not.
Now, wait a second. When you asked me that question, Don,
yeah.
I gave you the wrong answer, okay?
Right.
I do not hear that tone over the phone. I hear it in my ears. Occasionally,
I'm
going to
edit that out, by the way.
Don't tell your phone guy that. I hear this high-pitched tone in my ears. Now, I don't know. I've never asked the question what that meant. I should ask the question and get an idea of what it means to hear that high-pitched tone.
Yeah.
But, you know...
Getting back to fear, I have a question for you. This is something that I do, and I want to know if this is how it works, because you would know.
I don't know that I know. Don't assume I know, but I'll listen.
Okay, well, you know, from what I understand, and it works for me, is that if I'm in fear, and I do this quite a bit, let's say if I have something fearful or sad or something that's pressing in on all sides, what I do then is if I remember to do this, because it's hard to do it when you're emotional and all those energies are moving through your body, but when I do remember, I immediately stop and I say quietly to the Creator or to the higher forces, I give this gift of anger or I give this gift of sadness or of fear to you. Please take it. It's my gift to you. And I'd like to leave this on your doorstep because I don't want it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to work for me. Now I don't know whether that's a way to approach it, but I look at it as giving a gift to the higher sources to transmute. Is that a bad way to look at it?
I would say not. I would say I used to do something like that myself. I had this visualization. Where if I had something going on for me that I didn't like, I would imagine this hot air balloon, and that I would put it in the hot air balloon, and I'd watch the hot air balloon take off with that thing, and watch it disappear as like a small dot in the sky. And oftentimes that visualization would help me clear something. Now, other times, it would just stay. You know, one of the things that I think is really important for people to understand is that when you start committing to your own evolution, when you make the commitment to your own evolution, when you say, I think I can be more than I am, and I want to experience that, that the first thing that happens is all your shadow stuff surfaces. And as it surfaces, it creates very unpleasant experiences. And most people will run away from those experiences rather than go through them.
Yeah.
You know, most people live lives of distraction where they're constantly entertaining themselves, they're watching television, they're going out, they're this great emptiness, and they keep trying to fill the emptiness with distractions. And once you commit to your own evolution, then you stop doing the
distractions. What does that mean? What does that mean? Commit to your own evolution. I like that.
Well, committing. What I mean by that is saying, I know that I can be more than I am, and I want to be more than I am, and I'll do anything I can to get to that place where I can be more than I am.
I got you.
And when I say more than I am, I don't mean in a worldly sense. I don't mean I'm going to go be successful or be famous or make lots of money.
Right.
What I mean is that you expand your awareness, you expand your compassion, you transcend the things that are negative in you. And once you commit to your own evolution, invariably, you're going to go through the surfacing of a bunch of garbage, okay?
Right.
And it's inevitable. I mean, unless you happen to be one of those beings that's come in as an avatar and is totally clear, in which case you don't have to commit to your own evolution because you're already doing it, okay?
Right.
But most people have not committed to their own evolution. Most people are living their lives in a state of distraction and a state of let's have fun, let's do this, let's do that. Now, it's not that you shouldn't have fun, it's not that you shouldn't, but not at the expense of your own evolution. You have to give yourself the time and the desire and the intent to process the negative part of yourself. And the negative part of yourself can be incredibly painful. It's like if you read the channeling that's up, that we just put up, they talk about this is the time when people are surfacing incredible things. And they don't describe, they describe actually those people that want to commit to their own evolution are going to be going through a lot of stuff. In fact, probably people that don't commit to their own evolution are also going to be going through a lot of stuff. Because, you know, it seems like the distractions are not going to be as available in the future, or not as intriguing.
Well, it's weird because lately I've noticed, you know, I was talking to several people and several psychics, and you know, I talk to a lot of people on a daily basis. I probably talk on the phone 10 hours a day while I'm working, because I'm just talking with people all over the world. And it's and these people, some of them, when I engage them, I've been asking them about some of the energies that they're feeling, and they've been, it's hard for me to explain, but I even when I've been speaking to some, you know, some of my close family members, I've noticed that in the last 2.5 weeks, there's been an overwhelming feeling of, at first I couldn't put a name to it. I couldn't figure out what the energy was, but everybody in my family had seemed to change. Everybody else was changing. And when I finally explored that feeling, I was talking to, again, a psychic at the particular time when I put a name to it. And it seems like for the last 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, there's been a great energy of acceptance that's been finding its way to this planet and the people. I don't know what that means, but it's something that I just feel is true. It just seems like an energy of acceptance that's now pervading those that are, maybe let's call it in tune. I don't know. What do you think?
Well, I don't know. It's hard for me to tell.
I mean, it almost feels like...
Because I generate my own energy a lot.
Yeah.
So where I walk, the energy goes before me. And so it tends to have a transformative effect in my space. So... I do think underlyingly there's people that have a lot of anxiety about stuff. So I think Americans have been fairly apathetic. I mean, considering how public some of the things are that are negative, that are being done by our government, there's been a huge state of apathy.
I would agree.
I mean, people, I think... There's huge amounts of people that are just clinging to their standard of living and worried about their standard of living, and they're worried about that to a higher extent than doing the right thing, or at least being in a country that's certainly, in my opinion, not doing the right thing in its actions in world affairs, and even, you know, personal, local affairs. They're not doing the right thing, but no one wants to rock the boat. You know, the truth of the matter is, when if it really comes out how bad things are, it's gonna shake the economy, because what is the economy but our faith in the dollar? It certainly doesn't have any silver behind it.
Yeah.
It's just people's belief systems, and as the belief systems fall for our government and the ruling authorities, it's going to fall for the value of the dollar. And that's going to cause inflation, and that's going to cause our monetary system to fall apart. Already, other countries are devaluing our dollar and don't consider it to be a strong currency. Somebody told me, I don't know if it was you, I don't keep track of this, I don't know if this is true or not, but that the Japanese have pulled out billions and billions of dollars from our country.
Well, we've got people in our own country printing money, sending it overseas, and then buying back our own treasury bonds and various government issues from printed money. And folks, from what I gather, a lot of that is fake dollars that is being printed offshore by our own people in government, and then buying bonds with not only mass printed money, but also counterfeit. So now I don't know. I mean, that's just what I'm getting and understanding. So it's
none of that would surprise me.
Yeah.
And so, I mean, obviously, in the channeling we put up, they're talking about a collapse of our monetary system.
Yeah.
And it's these are the reasons. I mean, you don't have to be a psychic to see the potential for these things. I mean, it's just that it's very, very hard to accept it. Accept that these things could actually happen. But I mean, it's even harder to accept that ascension could happen for the conscious mind. I mean, even myself, having, you know, had done all these channelings and having all these conversations and having miracles, when I think of the idea that at one point my body is going to disappear from this level and appear in some higher dimension, my mind goes blank. I said, how can that be? How can that possibly happen? I mean, it is so foreign from my own experience. So, I mean, my own approach to myself is I say, well, if it does happen, I'm ready. But my conscious mind doesn't quite integrate it because I have no experience. Well,
remember, you have no experience you can remember.
I have no experience I can remember probably for any lifetime to have this kind of experience.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you know, when I go out and talk about it, I'm certainly not talking about it from the point of view of saying, here, I, on one hand, you know, one of the things about talking about this and having these conversations with these group souls and having such clear, clear representation, it's like, you know, one might think, and I see other people that have this attitude. They say, well, I must be one of the chosen ones because I'm going to ascend regardless of anything. And, I mean, in my own mind, I say to myself, God, I hope I qualify, even though I know how it all works.
Yeah, same here.
You know, maybe I'll screw up, but I won't qualify.
Yeah.
And maybe, you know.
Qualify with a Q.
Qualify with a Q, right. So, I mean, I'm a witness to my own experience.
Yeah.
I am not a follower of my experience. I am not a believer of my experience. I'm a witness to it, and it's like I deliver it like a witness and a messenger, and I say, draw your own conclusions, because that's the only way I can put it out. Otherwise, it would be like, I know what you don't know. Here's the truth. You don't know it. And it would make me feeling myself like I'm separating myself from other people.
Yeah.
And I don't feel separate. I feel like we're all in this together. And that I just happen to have this very unusual personal experience where something has been validated to me in a way that doesn't take faith or blind belief or hope or anything. It's in my face all the time, you know.
Well, you don't mind that I, you know, question about something else here, because this is one that I actually wanted to ask you last week, and I just remembered it.
Mm-hmm.
People, it's about faith. You know, a lot of people have faith. You know that, and I think we touched on this once before, and I never quite got it through in my head what the heck it was, where it went. Anyways.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to faith, I put in two categories. Faith, like those people that have faith that there is more out there, and that's their faith. And then there are those who have absolute conviction in their faith to such a point is that they believe that there's more out there, and therefore they take action. In other words, faith with action. So, you know, a lot of people today, you know, have faith, but they don't really have faith. You know what I'm saying? They know there's something more, but they're not really willing to take any action on their faith. Do you see what I mean?
Well, I would say that faith in of itself is like, what do you have faith in? I mean, faith is having some belief that something is true that you don't know is true. So you're going to believe that it's true because you hope that it'll be true.
Right.
But you don't know it, okay?
But some people actually do know it. That's what I mean. Oh, like you, if I were to ask you, do you know that death is not the end? I think you would come from a point of knowing that indeed there is no real death and that you do move on. I think you know that. There's a point of knowing. Whereas other people have, they don't have that knowing, but they just have, let they say, faith, a belief.
Well, you know what? Even in my own self, I mean, just to answer honestly, it's like the idea of ascension is the idea of death. It's like I've noticed that over the period of time that I've had all this interdimensional, experience, that I've become much less afraid. I won't say there's never any fear, but much, much reduced. And that when I consolidate my experiences, I have to say that there's definitely forces in other dimensions that are real, intelligent, very powerful, and caring and compassionate. They've proven that to me. And that they have been assisting me. And they have been assisting others around me. And so the story of evolution, the way we evolve through many lifetimes, ending up to be a group soul that helps others evolve, that makes a lot of sense. It makes certainly more sense than some father image that religion has defined as God overlooking our planet and answering our prayers. And that doesn't make sense to me. It's a nice image. And see, the fact of the matter is, though, if somebody uses that image, the standard image of God,
mm-hmm.
and they still have a pure intent, they can have miracles. They can have the assistance of the group souls, and they will attribute it to their faith in God. And so, they will have conviction that...
Well, they have action in faith.
Well, their belief system will have been validated because they asked God for something, and then it happened.
Yeah.
And so they're not gonna understand the big picture, but they don't need to, because from their own place they validated their reality system.
Exactly.
And so the reality system is working for them. And they probably, if I met that person, they probably would not be open to me because my reality system. See, I think my reality system includes their reality system, but their reality system doesn't include mine. Mine would challenge theirs, and it would force them to expand their mind to be more inclusive. And so, I would say if it's working for you, then keep working it, because it's not important to believe in what I believe in, or even believe in my the experiences I've had. It's not important if it doesn't work for you. But on the other hand, for someone that's, I've had people, that didn't believe in God at all, and they heard, read my book or heard some of my personal experiences, and then suddenly they changed their attitude. They said, you know what, Wim? That explains it to me. That makes sense. That's much more sensible than religion, normal religion. So they go along with it. See, one of the things is when you have all these disasters on the planet and things that are horrible happening, people that have conventional religious beliefs that are believing that the power exists in this Father God and not in themselves, they're going to start cursing God for allowing it to happen, rather than...
Good point.
Rather than
Taking
responsibility. Because, if you read... I think I sent this to you. I should read it. One of the things... Let me see if I can find it while we're talking, because I'll open up my computer. Ra, this was a quote from my book, and I sent it to you, and I told you to post it, where they said how, it's the consciousness of people in an area that creates the predisposition for more not helping to keep that area balanced. And it's not like God is punishing you. It's like the earth needs to feel the energy of people feeding back to it so that it stays in balance itself. And when it doesn't feel that energy, it can go out of balance and create disasters. I just opened up that reading, chapter 18. You yourselves, this is Ra speaking now, you yourselves have never been more aware of the fury of the heavens and of its transforming capability for change. As you continue to see weather disturbances and earth change scenarios, remember that it is created only by yourselves, so that you might then learn from thine own mistakes and strive towards greater love. Realize that the earth is responsible for taking upon all those energies that you would deny or shunt aside or raise in anger, rage, and bitterness. These energies must go somewhere, and thus they are transferred into the earth. Now, to me, that is really, really profound and makes sense to me that that's the way it works. Now, let's see, there's an area that's something where I can't directly validate that, but my intuition say that makes sense. And I can see myself that when I'm centered, and let me tell you, I'm not always centered, Don. I go through my craziness, and I go through sadness, and I go through anger. And I mean, maybe it's not as extreme as other people. And when I go through it, I process it. I know I'm experiencing it. It goes through me, and I get to the other side of it. But it's not like I walk around in some kind of state of
euphoria
all the time. Saying, "Hey, I'm enlightened." I mean, I think
that sounds almost like somebody with a bottle of Jack Daniels.
Right. Well, when I was younger and I would read metaphysical things, I used to think that enlightenment was that. You know, I used to think that one day you got to this place and
the genie's in the bottle.
you were never horny anymore. And that you knew God was with you, and that you were exploding inside with love, and that you would walk around and let everybody know, "I have come, and I have come to explode love into your space." And I mean, there are people that walk around and look like that, and in fact, you know what? Sometimes I look like that. You know, when I give a talk to a group of people, invariably, I suddenly get really charismatic, and there's all this light in the room. And I have the idea that I've expanded my space, and I've become one with everyone in the room. I've allowed myself to commune with everyone in the room, and I also believe that these group souls are also coming into the room and help in fact, maybe that's the major reason, help transform the energy of the room. And it's very interesting because when I leave the room, when the event is over, if there are a bunch of people in the room,
mm-hmm.
I feel connected with all those people. I can feel their energies in my space, and then slowly and surely over the next day, it disperses. And sometimes I go into real agony the next day because I feel like I've taken on people's stuff and I'm processing it. Now, you know, I believe everyone does this all the time, to some extent or another. When they walk around in the world, everyone is picking up everyone's energies and
processing.
They walk and process it.
That's why they have to remain grounded, exactly.
And it's very, but it's very, you know, in a sense, if you're doing it in a sense of service, like, well, okay, I have this ability to do this and help clear people momentarily, what happens is the space clears momentarily. It's spirit, you know, person feels completed for an hour. We all just joined in with a group energy, and now a person has a reference point of how it feels to feel that way. That's why people go and sit with gurus and avatars and
gurus,
because if the person's doing the right thing, they're holding an energy in the space. They're creating a space of communion of souls, and then people get a reference point of how it feels feels to feel that way. And then they got to go home, and the first thing that happens is their shadow stuff comes up and drops them into the negative, and they keep, because they can't hold the energy.
Yeah.
They can't hold it because they haven't processed all their negative.
Yeah.
And so when that comes up, then you have to just say, okay, I accept that this is coming up. I'm going to let it come through me. And sometimes it's weeks. Sometimes it's months. Sometimes you have to go back to that circumstance that uplifted you over and over again, kind of. It almost becomes an addiction, but I won't call it a bad addiction, because you're standing in the presence of light, uplifted energy,
yeah.
And it keeps reminding you that that's real. Because otherwise, you go into your depression, and it feels like your depression is real, and it feels like it'll never go away, and it feels like it's forever. And then you think those thoughts, and then you start getting suicidal, and you don't want to be around, and then you start blaming it on other people. Why isn't my husband cheering me up? Why isn't my wife having sex with me tonight? And blah, 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 blah. You know, why is my boss such an a-hole? You know, and now you're becoming a victim of everyone else, and now you're not going to clear it.
Yeah.
Because it's not your fault. It's everyone else's fault. Well, it is your fault. It's part of your shadow. It's part of your shadow that you've carried forth from many lifetimes. And you know, if you're going to evolve yourself, then you have to process your shadow. And it can be painful. And it's like, this is not an unusual experience. It's something that for eons, spiritual people have understood. I mean, there was that, who was that guy's name? St. John of the Cross? I'm not sure it was St. John, but there was a whole Christian tract called The Dark Night of the Soul. And The Dark Night of the Soul is exactly the description of what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
And it's where when people decided to turn, you know, to join the church or, you know, have a truly spiritual life, they suddenly had all this shit, pardon my language, we're on the radio, all this stuff.
Can you say shit on the air?
Huh?
Are you allowed to say shit on the air?
I don't know. Can we say that? I mean, there's enough internet sites to say it, so it's probably okay. But still, I don't think I want to say it. So excuse me for saying it. But you know, all this junk that comes up, and that is very, very good to understand the process, to study the process, to read about it, so that you honor the process in yourself when it comes up. Now, this process is now being speeded up because of this dimensional shift. So where people had to go through hell for, let's say, months and months or years, now they go through extreme hell for 6 months, and it's over, if you follow. I mean, it's like
karma has to now all be transmuted.
Yeah. And that's why it's good to have spiritual buddies who understand the process.
Well, tell them about your conference call.
My what?
Your conference call that you have people, you know, getting spiritual buddies.
Well, I didn't even I'm not forcing anything. I'm not doing that on the conference calls. I mean, I haven't done it yet. That's the idea as I've presented it. But I can't even get you to call your brother up and call in the light.
Oh, I'm not talking pray it forward. I'm talking your large by the way, yes, I did call in the light. I phoned up my mother, and I called in the light with my mother, and I enjoyed it very much. In fact, I'm taking Pray It Forward quite seriously.
Okay, good. Because you know what? It's like one of the things, you know, there is a there's a group, I think, in Oregon called Tenaya and Dwayne that they channel Orin and Dobbin.
Boy, that sounds like some sort of transmitted disease.
Orin and Dobbin? Well, I think that's your mind. I think it's your mind at the moment. But before I had all my experiences personally, I was writing for the Spirit of Mott, and I reviewed one of their books. And I really got a lot out of their channeled messages. Orin, O-R-I-N, and Dobbin, D-A-B-E-N. And I think they're valid and loving and caring. And And one of the things they said in this, one of the things that came up in the book I reviewed was that people tend to take what's most important and put it at the bottom of their list. And they feel like they'll get to it after they do all the other stuff.
All the unimportant stuff. Yeah.
Like doing their accounting and cleaning their house. And,
yeah, they save the best for last because they really want to focus in on it.
So they save the best for last and never get to it.
Yeah.
And so what they recommended was take what's most important and do it first, but do it just a little bit, like 15 minutes or a half an hour, and then go back and do your other stuff, and then the next day do what's most important first. So, you know, pray it forward is like one of those things that is easy to put at the bottom of the list and say, I don't have time for this. But in fact, it's probably anyone who does it regularly.
Well, everybody has time for it. I mean, to say you don't have time for it's ridiculous.
I know. I'm just telling you, just watching how people, you know, well, people have to choose to do it of their own free will because they see it important. And if they do it, it's such a simple thing. But nonetheless,
the amount of work I've been doing, I've now finally put shower up at the top of my list.
Oh, you do? That's your main priority, huh? All right. And we had all these things we were talking about on the phone before we got on the phone.
You were talking about strings, spiritual strings.
Oh, yeah. I was talking about gratitude and grace.
And correct.
I mean, one of the things that I learned for myself, you know, what I've done all my life, is I said, I'm going to watch everything and pay attention to how things work and see when I do this, what happens, and when I do that, what happens. And it's constantly refining my decision-making processes so that I would make better decisions because I didn't understand how it worked. I mean, you know, I read what other people said worked, and I mean, I tried it. I remembered when I was younger, I read all these spirituals that talked about the value of celibacy. And I said, well, geez, I better be celibate.
Yeah, I threw all those away.
All I did was about 5 years of headaches. And, I mean, you know, there's a lot of, I guess, I hate to use the word disinformation. Because, you see, maybe for someone else, celibacy is the right thing. Every person has got to figure out, you know, each life is so unique and so individual that to try to make a rule, everyone wants a rule. Well, just tell me, I'll do this, I just want to do that. To try to make a rule that works for everyone and then pass it on is, you're going to screw yourself up. It's better to make mistakes and fail and, I mean, my famous William Blake quote, which I read when I was celibate, and I said, you know, this guy, how could he come up with this? This doesn't fit what I'm going through, was, it's the path of excess that leads to the palace of wisdom. Did you ever hear that, Don?
Oh, yes.
You did?
Oh, yes.
And I know that's true. If you want to counsel other people, if you want to be a teacher for other people.
It's just like being in the moment.
If you've got to understand their experience. And if you don't understand their experience, you don't have to go through everything they're going through. We've all gone through many lifetimes. And so it's very possible that you've internalized their experience in a past lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And you can understand it through that internalization. But on the other hand, you haven't gone through the experience. Now, you can also understand it through somebody else's experience. If somebody else has gone through the experience, like I can talk about things that I've gone through and say, I've gone through this and it created this, and somebody can connect with it and says, well, that makes sense. And then if I suggest something to somebody and they try it and it seems to work for them, then they may be able to bypass certain things because they believed that my experience was correct. but not to believe in it. It's to, you have to make it work for you. You have to notice something shift in your life. You have to do something. Like, you know, if I say, okay, imagine every day that you are connected with the galactic center and you are radiating energy, and wherever you go, you uplift the environment. Which as I say that, well, you don't know that's true. You never had that experience. Well, then you go out and you imagine it. For a couple of weeks, you're imagining it, and you say, I'll see what happens. And then after a while, something shifts. And then you go into a coffee shop, and suddenly the whole room is filled with light. And then suddenly other people start coming into the coffee shop when it was empty. So you had some kind of experience. Maybe I'm really doing that. Am I really doing that, or was that an accident? And so, you know, you keep doing it over 6 months, and after a while, you get the experience that you are doing it. You can actually change the vibration where you are.
Exactly. And,
but, you know, it can start out. See, this is where faith is. Well, let me see if I imagine if I can do that, and I'll try to do it. And well, I'll have faith that maybe it'll work. Wynn said it'll work.
But you got to have action. See, that's where I was coming back to my original point. Faith is great, but faith without action is really baseless.
Well, faith creates, I would say, the best asset. I mean, you can have faith.
Belief and faith to me are two different things.
Well, I think, I don't know, we can get into that vocabulary here. And I'm not sure we're probably saying something fairly simple, but you know, there's belief, there's faith, there's belief, and there's knowing.
Correct.
Okay?
Correct.
Those are three different qualities. Now, I think faith is preliminary to knowing.
Correct.
And belief is something that's in your mind.
Correct.
In other words, belief is not based on experience. It's based on, how would we say it?
You're right. And the only way, though, to know it is to practice your faith.
Well, the way to know it is to have, now let me just say, the only way to know it is to have faith in the right thing, something that's real, and then you'll get an experience to validate the faith. I mean, look, now this is tricky, because, you know, whatever you believe or have faith in, you'll have a tendency to create. Keep in mind that each human is a creator.
That's correct.
So, you know, so, If you're going to apply faith, then find the highest thing you can that you're sure that you believe is someone else's experience. I mean, for the longest time on the planet, maybe probably still so, I think the Jesus was probably the strongest experience for people. And so people said, well, if I have faith in this, maybe I'll have an experience. And many people, billions of people, have had some kind of experience based on their faith in that. Now, does that mean that's the only thing to have faith in, to have belief in, to create experience, to create knowing? No. It's just one of the most powerful ones. And I believe that the Ra group is very much connected with that with the Jesus experience. So they're paying attention to people that call on that experience with the highest intent and helping them.
Well, tell the people a little bit about what is going to be coming. I think, remember these channeled sources we're talking about now that you mentioned it? Mary's son.
Wait a second. It scares me to talk about it. Okay, let me just say, if I'm going to talk about this, I'm going to talk about it in the way that I give people free will,
right?
All right? I mean, give myself free will, because I can hardly believe myself.
I understand.
The stuff I'm happening. So, you know, just anyone who's listening that hasn't followed the track of me, you can go to Conversations with My Girlfriend and read my experience, and I suggest you do. and it talks about how I had. Now your mother's going to get mad at me now because I say this every week, but I always think there's new people that don't
know. She loves you, Wynn. She does. You have no idea.
All right. Well, I'm thinking that there's people that may be checking in this week that don't have a clue. I mean, I speak with a certain sense of authority, and I refer to these experiences. And I mean, I don't tell the story every week. You know, I told it on Nevin's show. Anyone can download Nevin's show and play it, right?
That's right.
Up for download, and Nevin interviewed me. Nevin has What a World on Blog In Service, and you know, we had a really amazing show where I got into really the depth of what I was experiencing. And anyone can download that. They can go to Conversations with My Girlfriend. But, you know, I've had two girlfriends in a row channeling a voice coming out of them saying that they were the Elohim. And the Elohim is identified themselves as a group soul that's billions of years old, that originally had bodies like us on the Andromedan system, and is now one of the oversoul forces on our planet, and that they were using me to try to get these messages into the public, more widespread for people to consider. And, these interactions have happened with miracles, with people's lives being saved, I have grown immensely from the counseling that I had in this, and
so have I. I mean,
and so have you. It's spread out to you. So it's like I have a feeling there's something to it. And now, you know, Girlfriend X, I call them Girlfriend X and Girlfriend Y.
And just so everybody knows, they're beautiful ladies.
Adonis talked to them both. He knows they really exist, but I'm not making this up.
And I've seen their pictures.
Right?
They're beautiful ladies.
And Girlfriend Dex, who originally thought this was crazy, has come to the conclusion that it's really important. And so she's been doing some channelings every week or every 2 weeks that we've been posting on Blog In Service. And we just put a new one up today. And, they're explaining what they, from their point of view, what's happening on our planet. And then at the end of it, they said, this was not the Elohim, actually. This was Kwai.
Kwai, yeah.
Speaking, which is part of the Ra group. We've had the Elohim and Kwai bringing through stuff. And, they said Mother Mary wants to talk to me and explain to me what her son meant about some of the prophecies that were happening.
So pay attention to the next channeling.
So probably in the next, sometimes we announce that we're going to be putting them up every week, but it's not always coming out that way. I mean, if we get something good, I'm just going to put it up. It might be twice a week. It might be once every 2 weeks. But, we'll keep it going as long as... I can't channel myself, so I can't bring this stuff forward. As long as I have a girlfriend,
he's still waiting, ladies, for girlfriend Z. So
there's right.
A slot open.
Yeah. If there's anyone out there that's channeling the Elohim, and is send me an email
and a picture.
I had one person who was an old friend of mine who I was sharing all this story with, and she said, "Wynn, I don't know about your channelings, but you have the best line I ever heard." And so, it's a little embarrassing, It's like I have a new criteria for girlfriends, And probably anyone that would contact me, I'd be so embarrassed I wouldn't even know how to talk to them. But nonetheless,
what Girlfriend X is doing is so tremendous, and I just want to thank her and Girlfriend Y, because the time that they're taking out to do this and to bring these messages, to the visitors of Blog and Service and to the world at large is so important. And you're going to get that from the messages that they're delivering. And remember, future is a probable thing. It's not a it's always fluctuating and fluid. So, you know, you got to, again, like Wynne always says, place your great discern the messages and find the truth as it rings for you. And don't take everything as an absolute. Just, you know, feel your way through it. And, you know, and if you get a chance to, email Wynne at wynne@bloginservice.com and send a note of thank you to Girlfriend X and Girlfriend Y. You can give them any name you like.
I will forward them because it means a lot to them. Because
it does.
Which, particularly, you know.
Well, it's not easy for them to be doing it.
Girlfriend X came from a very sophisticated, intelligent, wealthy background, who left her husband to be with me to run around as a street vendor and went into this huge conflict about leaving behind their successful life and how, and that people would think she was crazy if she was channeling like this. And she wanted to be esteemed in a more normal way. And then she left me. And then now...
That is the way you said that. I'm sorry.
And Girlfriend Y, hey, Girlfriend Y, believe it or not, Girlfriend Y, I'm on Blogging Service right now. It's just walked up. Now, I'll tell you the truth, Tom. I'm sitting in the parking lot of a coffee shop that I go to in near the Pasadena area.
Right.
And Girlfriend Y knows my patterns, okay? So she just walked up to the window of the car and looked at me. And we're just talking about you, okay? Todd, I'm going to put her on. You can let her say hello to everybody, okay? I'm switching my headset.
Okay.
Girlfriend Y. We're going to leave her anonymous, okay?
Okay.
Hi, Don, and hi, everybody.
Well, I'm glad to have you on the program. How are you, Girlfriend Y?
I'm doing good. I'm accomplishing a lot today.
You know... Sorry?
Yeah. Just moved out of my storage area.
Wow. So what are you, was it an easy move, or?
Yeah, it wasn't bad. So now I'm saving some money every month. It was a good feeling.
Good. You know, I too am getting ready to move, and I don't look forward to it, but it has to be.
Once you get started in it, you get a lot of energy where you see where that you can really do it.
Yes, I agree. I agree.
Talk about something interesting.
Well, yeah, we were talking about some of the channelings that you and Girlfriend X have been doing, and I just, again, I want to thank you for all that you're doing. I know it can't be easy and taking the time to do it, but... you know, people are reading it, and the awareness is building, and it's such a positive, such a wonderful thing to be able to share that with others and give them a little bit of a heads up as to what's going on and how this transition is taking place. So, I really love the fact that you're helping us out and doing that, and I just want to thank you.
Yes, it's a lot of fun to do because when I connect up with the Elohim, I feel like the answers just come, whereas if it was just myself and I ask myself those questions, I don't get any answers. So it's really a beautiful experience to be able to connect up with them.
How does that work? Do you go into like a sleep mode or deep trance, or is it full awareness?
Well, sometimes I don't have full awareness. Sometimes I'm more aware of others than what is said. Sometimes it's just like all of a sudden I'm in the background, but I've gotten a lot smarter, and the answers just, they just come very, very easily, and it's just a delight. And sometimes afterwards I have to listen to the tape to get the details of what was said.
I got. So how do you prepare for a channeling? Do you deep breathing, lie down, or I'm just curious, how do you prepare for that?
Wynn says a prayer, and I have to be in the right frame of mind or state of mind to be able to do it. Sometimes I don't get anything if I'm in the wrong state of mind. But when those, the different, like, he starts out Father, Mother, God, and he brings in the light, and he makes a very safe space, and asks that no, any negativity be taken to the higher realms. Once it shifted from very, very positive, and all of a sudden it got negative.
Right.
And I realized that all of a sudden it had shifted groups, and I didn't know it was a negative group coming in, and I had to stop and reframe everything to get back in touch with it was Ra coming through. And then when I connected up with Ra again, then the channeling went very, very well.
Right. Amazing. So how long does it normally take from when the moment you start, about 5-10 minutes to get ready?
It should be around 3 to 5 minutes, just relaxing, and when says the prayer, and just let the space open up.
You know, that is wonderful. I mean, what an amazing ability to know that you can attune to the higher vibration, because in order to do that, I understand that you must be able to actually create that vibration of that higher vibration in order for them to connect up with you. Is that correct?
I'm experiencing their vibration. It's like it's coming through on a very narrow band. It's almost directional. So that I follow the signal. It's like a radio signal at a certain wavelength, and it just beams in on me, and then I pick it up and I pursue it.
Amazing. I've always found channeling to be amazing, to be able to pick up those frequencies, because of course I have never been able to. I've never channeled before in my life, and I've spoken to many who have, and it to me is just a fabulous gift that not only that you're giving us, but that the higher sources are giving us, because they're able then to access the physical in such a way as to connect.
Yes, it's like one of the things that when they look down at on the earth, for instance, they look down, the Elohim looks down at the Mormons, and they see many people praying, and just really, really praying, and the Elohim wants them to know that their prayers are heard. It's like an energy reaching up from the person praying, and they want them to know that they are there to connect, and it's not just something going off into the blue. They are really there to connect with the person.
Yes, that is good to know. And I believe that. I fully believe that, that everything we think and every prayer we make is heard.
Yes, and one doesn't have to be Mormons either. I had particularly at the time been with a group of Mormons, and I had just seen them praying. Just in general, they have the ability to look down at Earth and to see different areas of energy and light where a person has reached out for their energy. And they are able to just look down at Earth and spot that. And so they know where somebody is ready for connection.
Have you ever asked for them to show you what that would, to give you images? To allow you to see what that would look like from their perspective?
Yes, because when I, it's almost like merging with them, and they're coming through, and I get the images of the different, like, of Earth and the different areas of light.
Wow.
It's very beautiful and dynamic.
I bet it would be. That's amazing. So they do send you images while they communicate.
Yes, it's not as if they're sending them to me. It's as if I have connected with them and I've merged with them. And as that, I can see their images
as
they look.
Wow. Wow, that must be beautiful.
Yes. I'm about to give you back to Wynn.
Well, thank you so much for coming on our program today. Thank you for being who you are and everything that you do. Thank you.
And thank you. You're a wonderful host.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Hello?
Hey, that was a delight.
Wasn't it?
It was. I asked her several questions I was curious about, and she answered them wonderfully.
You know what's amazing is that girlfriend X and girlfriend Y like each other. In fact, they ask each other questions for channelings.
That's amazing.
Because you know, there's blind spots where the person can't, even if you're channeling,
a person,
they still can't get through your blind spot. And so they say, could you ask the other one this and the other one that, you know? And
they're working together.
Yeah, and it's kind of like having a harem, right?
Well, it's,
I
don't know.
Girlfriend Y is going to punch me. Apparently in past lives I have harems, so.
Well, knowing who you are, which I do, I would have to say that's probably true.
Right. So in any case, I prepared myself. We didn't even get to it. We had all these things that we were going to talk about, like gratitude and grace. It was such a good conversation we were having about gratitude and grace.
Yeah.
But then we didn't get to it. We're like 7:22. You know what? We've been entertaining each other for like an hour and 22 minutes tonight, right?
That's right.
And
I've enjoyed every moment.
And we didn't even have a guest host for you. And I'll bet your mother is happy because I let you talk more.
You know, she's going to be happy because she got to hear her son speak.
Right. My son, I'm so proud of him. Do you want to hear a bad joke?
I love to hear bad jokes.
There were these three Jewish ladies who were bragging about their grandchildren. Did I tell you this joke?
I don't think so. I heard the octopus jokes.
Yeah, they were,
those
they
were good.
They were bragging about. They were sitting on a park bench, and each one was bragging about her grandson. So the first one was saying, my son, he is a lawyer in Beverly Hills, and he has a Mercedes and, a $2 million house. And the other one says, oh, my son, he's a movie producer in Malibu, and he's got a Rolls Royce and a $6 million house. And the third one wasn't saying anything. So finally they said, well, what does your grandson do? And she says, oh, my grandson, he's a homosexual, and he sleeps with a lawyer in Beverly Hills and a movie producer in Malibu. Wow. There we go. Our next spiritual show just went.
That's just to prove to everybody that you shouldn't take us too seriously.
Right. Now, you know, also, I wanted to read to you, I was reading to you earlier this email that came in about what the talk show hosts are saying.
You got to read that.
Yeah. So, this is like, you know, you know, there's an awareness. For the longest time, it was like people knew that things were a little screwy in our government, and everyone else was blindly following. But now it's, these talk show hosts seem to know the same things we do. And somebody sent me an email with some of the jokes that they came up with, okay?
Right.
And so here's Jay Leno. At the trial, Saddam insisted he is still president, that he's still in charge, despite the fact that all his people disapprove of him and his top assistants are all in jail or going to jail. No, I'm sorry, that's President Bush. And then, let's see here. This is David Letterman. Saddam Hussein's trial started yesterday. Were you folks aware of that? In court, he was stubborn and he was defiant. Stubborn and defiant, insisting that he stole the president. You know, sort of like Bush. That's David Letterman. And let's see here. The results from the Iraqi election are coming in, and the Sunnis are claiming that the election was rigged. So it looks like they got an American-style democracy after all. David Letterman. And here is Bill Mayer. Bill Mayer, he's the most radical of them of all. You know I love New Orleans. They're vowing to hold Mardi Gras this year, come hell or no pun, high water. This is interesting. They've always had a Mardi Gras drink called the Hurricane. They're not going to serve this year, but they've got a new one called the FEMA. It's strong, and it hits you about a week later. President Bush is taking more liberal positions. For example, global warming. He used to be against it. Now it's the Republican plan for heating homes this winter. Jay Leno. Here's Bill Mayer again. I think the president is losing it. The BBC is reporting that Bush told a group of Palestinian ministers that God told him to invade in Iraq. You see, that's what happens when you mix the New Testament and Old Milwaukee. Now, here's David Letterman. Now there's some sad information coming out of Washington. According to reports, President Bush may be drinking again. And I thought, well, why not? He's got everybody else drinking. So, folks, there's still hope. Keep your hearts open.
You know, when there's open hearts and there's still lots of laughter, there's always hope. There's nothing but, in fact, everything's, this is because, like you always say, it's such a small blurb on the timeline that, it's great to have hope, but just know it's going to work out because in the end it is. And, you know, we're going to see more of that as we go forward because we're co-creating. We're going to be co-creators and we're co-creating right now what the future will be. And if we just keep our hearts open and our smiles on, I think we're going to create one wonderful new age.
Well, Don, I gotta say that I know that there's two group souls, Ra and the Elohim. There's two group souls that are paying attention to us right now while we do this show. They're paying attention to the listeners that are listening to the show. They are available interdimensionally. As Terry said, you know, They're answering prayers. They're listening to prayers. That, you know, most people are not going to get, and I wouldn't even look for it. Believe me, I would not look for the kind of experience I've had because you have no idea. Some days maybe I'll tell it on the show what it's taken to have this experience and what you know, the negativity. You know, you talk about dark nights of the soul. You know, the things that and particularly girlfriend X's had to go through, the things that I've had to go through, this is a tricky thing. This is tricky, bringing in these kind of voices. One of the things is there's negative zones out there, and when you go into the realm of these group souls, you become visible to the negative zone on the other side, which is beings just like us. They're just in a different time zone, and they're based on conquest and service to self. And they can experience you. When your energy expands on the other side into these high realms, you become visible to the negative realm, and you will be attacked. everyone that I know that has had this experience, when I've talked about it, has had that experience of being attacked. Sometimes, like Carla Rucker, who channeled Ra. I mean, By the way, I should really recommend you go to Carla Rucker's website, llresearch.org.
And read the Law of One, yeah.
Read the Law of One and read her current channelings. There's a huge, huge amount of information and upliftment, questions answered, that the more you expose yourself to this, the more chance you have of having your own experience with these souls. What happens is you read their channelings, and you go through aha experience, you go through, well, that's right. And in the meantime, there's part of you that's connecting with their energy. And if you do it repetitively, you will know that it's real. If you read my book, there's wonderful channelings in there from David Wilcock, his website, ascension2000.com. And he's got many of his channelings posted. And although he may not present his material in as organized a way or as prioritized as I would like to see him do it, he is totally committed to getting this out there. He's written online books to help your logical mind understand that this is real. There's so much there that you can immerse yourself in to know that this is real. You don't have to believe it because I say it. There's so many people that are having experiences and that things are speeded up, and there's this amazing energy that's pouring onto the planet now and open to the possibility. And you can change your life, and you can change the people around you. Those people that are listening to this show, I believe, if you take this seriously and do your own due diligence research, you're very important people. You have the opportunity to make these connections and in some way have it validated for yourself. And you have the ability to be able to hold for those people around you, because things are going to, according to the information we're getting, and I mean, I don't think you need to be a psychic to know this, things are going to get tough on this planet. And it's really important to make good friends, make good interdimensional friends, load yourself up with as much truth as you can while we still have communication. Because we don't know how long that's going to last.
Yeah.
Maybe another couple years, but maybe not. There's a lot of things in flux. But the more of you that tune into the energy, the more of you that ground this energy, the easier all these transitions will be. So tell your friends. Share it with your friends. You know, I'm doing conference calls twice a week, and I'm doing conference calls for people that never heard about any of this stuff, and I'm telling people, just tell people this author is going to be on the phone, and I have a number to call. Email me, tell me you're interested, and I got a feeling these conference calls are going to book up really fast. Right now we can have 100 people on the call. Tell me you're interested, and I'll tell you how to get in on it. And I'm willing to do more of them as the demand increases. I'm planning on doing Saturday conference calls with like trainings, where I'm going to have a little suggested donation, where I'm going to talk more specifically, particularly to people that have already read the book. I want to know how to implement the Law of One and the principles of it in their own life. And although I'm not an expert, I do my best and I'll deliver the best of my own experiences and how I have changed myself over the past few years and worked out a lot of my shadow stuff. Believe me, when this first started happening, I was scared to talk about it. I didn't know how to talk about it. I didn't know how people would react to it, you know? And, in other lifetimes, I've been killed for talking about it. I mean, I've learned some of the things I've done, and I've learned how I died. I know it's a very provocative thing to put onto the planet. And so, I'll have those Saturday things. I mean, I just want to make myself available as I can to the people that want to know more and want to experience more. And, you know, there is a process of osmosis where it rubs off. My experience rubs off on other people, so I want to give anyone who wants that chance the chance to have that experience. I mean, Don, you were telling me, you know, I mean, I see this happen all the more and more. It's like, you know, you've been following all this stuff, and it's become, I mean, you know, you've examined it, you've used your own scrutiny and your own discernment, and, you know, you've come to the conclusion that it's real.
Yes.
And, you know, I think you felt a change in your vibe, not in your mind, but something happened in your vibrational field, right?
I would say yes.
And then you were telling me that suddenly your wife was happy.
Yes, in fact.
And that your children...
Well, she's always been happy, but there's certain things that she was never happy about, like moving at all, because her whole family's here, and I suggested this new place to move. And it's like, oh, yes, let's do it. And, I mean, a change around in every last thing now. I mean, she comes home happy, happy, happy. And I've seen her happy, but not 100% of the time. And it's a little unusual.
Mm-hmm. And you know what? She doesn't know any of the stuff we talk about.
Correct.
She's not even interested in my book or any of this other stuff.
Correct.
I mean, she's got, you know, more conventional belief patterns.
Correct.
But yet her vibrational space seems to have changed.
Correct.
And that is what I am seeing around me all the time. And I think this is the process that is the way it really works. When someone starts to change their own matrix, their own position in the matrix, and starts moving up in the matrix on the other side, it's not suddenly like everyone recognizes you and acknowledges you and say, oh, my God, you're here. No, but your vibrations change, and there's changes in the space around you. No one even knows why it's happening.
Yeah.
No one even knows that you're creating it. It happens almost like it just happens. It's kind of like, you know, you walk into a room and things change in the room, and people are more happy. They don't know that you lifted the vibration in the room. You don't get anyone coming up thanking you. It's something like between you and God.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's where the really high service about all this comes in. It's like when you stop looking for the acknowledgement and the recognition and say, it's enough to change the energy. It's enough to uplift the energy. And those people that ask me what's going on, they're the ones that I'll work with and try to explain. And that's where the mental understanding becomes important, so that you can help give people the data. And that's why I'm doing this conference calls, so that I can give people the data and just talk. And, you know, I'm going to do these small trainings where it'll be more like small groups of people where I can maybe shed some light on the issues they're going through.
Yeah.
And I mean, to me, it's a great find. It's a great way of putting this out and spreading it. And I highly recommend reading the book. I mean, we talk about a lot of things that are far out on this show, but it's like you got to make it real for yourself. It doesn't have to do with me and my experience. It has to do with how is that important to you and how can you change your experience. And but I would say that I probably have one of the more documented cases of interdimensional communication between writing the book, between having two girlfriends, between having miracles. And anyone can study my case and kick the tires, and they will know that it actually happened to me. And if it happened for me, it's real. And if it can happen for one person, it can happen for others. And it's a matter of, like, being open to it, looking for it, and having a desire to serve. I mean, that's the important one. It's not about running out to your friends and saying, oh, my God, my girlfriend was channeling the Elohim last night. I mean, it's not a joke. It's serious business. And, I mean, it took me a couple of years to trust it, to be willing to talk about it, to feel that it was positive, and to understand how to work it in work it for the benefit of everybody. And it was not about aggrandizing myself for having this kind of experience. and all of us, that was a hard one, because there's all parts of us that love people saying how great we are. Don, tell me what a great guy I am, Don.
You're my guru.
Yeah, well I am not your guru, okay? I am not signing that contract, or you can think whatever you want, but I am just doing what I do each moment, as are you. But I tell you, Don is, for those of you that don't know, Don is the founder of Bloggin. He's doing this out of service. I know he's doing this out of, one of the things I loved when I discovered Bloggin is that I said, this guy has a high intent. He's not trying to make money off of this. He's not trying to get recognition. He's just trying to help humanity. And even though necessarily not everything he had on, had up was positive, his intent was positive. And it just shone through. And it's very hard, I mean, you know, hard to find people that have that kind of intent. Everyone wants to use you to make money or to gain recognition or to get power or, you know, you want to know the right people. And I love Don. I love the purity
you,
of his intent.
Thank you.
And
I you.
And, I mean, we're not, we have no ulterior motive, the two of us, for doing this other than to share something and uplift you. And,
well, we do have one ulterior motive.
What's that?
We're trying to fill our coffee shop.
You're trying to fill our coffee shop?
We want more people at our coffee shop.
Can you hear me, Don?
I hear you.
Wait a second.
Temporary lapse here, folks. Maybe you had to make a quick pit stop. My imagination is now starting to play with me, Wim. I'm starting to imagine what the heck it is that's taking you so long.
Don?
Yeah.
Can you hear me, Don?
I can hear you. Can you hear me now?
I can hear you. You want to know something?
Mm-hmm.
My earphone fell out of my cell phone and fell on the floor, and I'm on my hands and knees looking for my cell phone. And you don't find it until I heard your voice coming out of it just now. And I said, oh, there it is. Oh, sorry about that. So, listen, Don, what did you talk about while I lost my cell phone?
I was just imagining what you were doing. I figured maybe you had to, nature was calling?
No. I wouldn't disappear like that without going. My cell phone, I'm in my car outside of a coffee shop, and I moved, I was on my headset, and I moved, and my cell phone fell off the headset somewhere on the floor, and I couldn't find it. And I'm there on my hands and knees with my car door open, feeling all over the floor looking for the cell phone. And then finally I hear you laughing over it, and I thought, there it is. It's a good thing you're loud.
That
so,
is one thing I have always been, unfortunately.
It's a good point and your bad point, huh? So, we're having a really good time tonight, aren't we?
We're having a great time. I hope the audience...
We're not even trying to do a show.
That's right. Well, it's rare that we even try.
Yeah. But we're having
That's why it's so zany.
Well, we're having a better time than normal. It's probably because your mother said I should let you talk more.
My father's probably saying, no, don't let him talk at all.
Right.
No, me, you know. Hildy, don't tell him that.
Hildy, by the way, we had a conversation with the Elohim about you. If you want to know, ask Don, and I'll type it up and send it to you.
Yeah, oh, actually, that would be wonderful. Maybe just a clip or something.
Yeah.
That'd be wonderful.
Your mother doesn't think I'm crazy, does she?
No, she actually is a believer, but she's so accepting. My mother is such a powerful entity when it comes to love and service to others. I mean, so powerful. She magnifies it in everything she does, in every person she meets, in such a powerful way. You'd feel it. It's extreme in my mother. I mean, such love and such depth and such power and conviction and heart and compassion. I mean, it's amazing. I mean, my mother is just, you could call her Mother Teresa. They're two peas in a pod. And so I think the world of her, and it's not just I think it, so do everybody who's ever come in contact with her. So, She's just a very wonderful, wonderful friend, mother, and I've been lucky. I mean, she's been a guiding light in my life and in my family's life, so I've been very blessed.
Well, see, I had a really hard time growing up, but you probably had better karma than me. I had to go through all this stuff to work through all my karma this life.
Yeah.
So to get to the place where I am now, wherever the hell that is, wherever the heaven that is.
Wherever that is, yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? I think, Don, that you should call in the light tonight and finish the show instead of me.
Ouch. I can give it a try.
You've been practicing with your mother and your brother, right?
I've been practicing.
And so,
but I'll just let it come out from the heart and see where it goes.
Okay. Now, just tell everybody, prayitforward.net. I put that up for people that want to apply this ritual to their own life.
Right.
And they can go to it and read this, or at least my generic version of this invocation. And it's, you know, basically calling in the light, the highest. Donna's going to do it, so you better make sure everybody feels it, because you know when I do it, people get goosebumps. So
I hear you.
We're going to get we want to get emails back to hear that people get goosebumps when you do it. Okay.
Okay.
Or else it's going to have to go back to me.
That's right.
Well.
Here we go. Here we go. Are you ready? Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody, get in the lotus. Dear Father, Mother, God, we thank you for being with us on our journey. We thank you for taking us on this journey and walking with us and guiding us and the support that you've given us. We ask that you continually illuminate our path and you allow those higher forces of service to others, those that are looking out for the highest good of all concerned, to envelop us and to energize us, to fill our being with light and energy of love and power and wisdom and compassion, that energy that we can then bring forth to others, and we can transmute those negative energies that are within us and ground ourselves and help heal the planet and its people. And we ask that we can work with you in being a guiding force and a guiding point of reference for all those that are lost and that are hurting and that are in pain and that are reaching out and trying to find their way into the light. And we ask that you continually support us and walk with us throughout the day and be there to hold our hand as we make those decisions, whether those are important decisions or little decisions. We ask that you were always there, always guiding us into those decisions so that we don't have to be there alone and that we make the correct decision that will help us on our journey. We ask now to send the light, and we ask that light be strong and loving and that it has purpose and that it extends to all those that we love, all those that listen, that are listening to us now on our Dawn and Wind radio program, and that it extends out to those we love in the family, those of our neighbors, those people that we come in contact with. I would like to personally send this light out to a fellow named Christopher Moores. He does the Creative Cosmos radio program that we have. He's such a wonderful person, and I just want him to feel that energy now, not because he needs it, because I'm sure that he's a part of it, but I just want him to continually expand and feel those energies. And I want to send it out to a lady we know as Ariel. She's a wonderful lady. She's working through her own situation in life, and we want to help her with, give those energies, those guiding energies from these higher forces to help her along that path. We also want to help another individual that's in North Carolina, that is a Dr. Evangelista. It is someone that Ariel knows very well, and we want to send out loving and healing energies to him on his path. And I just want to close in saying that every day, hope to remember how wonderful this world is, how wonderful its people are. I don't ever want to forget, and I want to be thankful for every moment. And when I forget, I hope these higher forces continually remind me. My cup is always full, and I thank you.
And, you know, just for those that are listening at this moment, I just want to add, if you can send this light to the people you care about, the people that are going through trouble that you're personally involved with, to your spouses, to your children, and imagine that your world, your home is protected, and that this light energy is working with you, and that you can carry it through the week until our next show and have more and more of your own experience. And thank you for letting us into your homes and your hearts.
Thank you, Wynn. Thank you. Well, Wynn, it's another evening. I hope you have a wonderful Saturday evening, and bless you and bless everyone out there. I just wish you good night as well. Thank you for listening. Good night.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.